to the service this morning. We sometimes see whether God's working in people's lives, how God's developing us. And as you get older, you'll see that God has always been working in your life if you're a child of God. So when he says all things work together for good, it's for those that are called according to his purpose. There'll be a good many that he had not called for his purpose. But as the wisdom that Solomon had developed, we see a lot of that is worldly wisdom, wisdom of this world. Thus, our sermon this morning is his title, Powers of Perception Sharpened. Powers of Perception Sharpened. And in God's people, these powers of perceiving is sharpened for some. And like I said, there's different gifts placed in the church, and we grow in the discerning of spirits, and we grow in different ways. We're talking about Nehemiah this morning, and we see that his power of perceiving was one that was given of God. And I told you the other week in Bible study or whatever, there is perceiving that's not actually of God. It's in worldly things, and it could be wrong or whatever. Sometimes our emotions can distort the way we perceive of things, how we see things, and the different synonyms for the word perceive. But when we use the word perceive, we more or less think of it in a spiritual way, as I've been applying it here. And that's what we want to look at, because everything should be spiritual to he that is spiritual, and that we would grow in the grace and knowledge and understanding of God. The sixth chapter of Nehemiah, our text is coming from this morning, the enemy's plot. It says, now when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there was no breach left in it, although at that time I had not set up doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent word to me saying, come, let us meet together at Shephrim in the plain of Ono. But they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work and cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave to come down to meet with you? They sent word to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same way. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me in the same way the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, it is reported among the neighboring nations that Gashmon is saying that you and the Jews are planning to revolt, and that is the reason you are rebuilding the wall. And according to these reports, you are to be their king. Also, it is reported that you have appointed prophets to make a proclamation concerning you in Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now these things will be reported to the king of Persia. So come now and let us consult together. I sent a message to him saying, such things as you are saying have not been done. You are inventing them in your own mind. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking they will become discouraged with the work, and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. And when I went to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Methabel, who was confined at his home, he said, let us meet and take refuge together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, because they are coming to kill you, and they are coming to kill you at night. But I said, should a man like me flee in fear and hide? Should someone like me enter the temple for sanctuary to save his life? I will not go. Then I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had spoke this prophecy against me because of Tobiah. And I will, King James Version, that's the reading version, it says, and lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he had pronounced his prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Remember, O God, Tobiah and Samuel in regard to these actions of theirs. And also remember the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who were trying to fight me. The wall is finished. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month, Elul, and in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about it, and all the Gentile nations around us saw it, they lost their confidence, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Moreover, in those days, many letters went from the nobles of Judah to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them. For many in Judah were bound by oath to him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son of Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshulam, son of Berechiah. Also, they were speaking about Tobiah's good deeds in my presence and reporting to him what I said. Then Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. As we look at this morning, this is Nehemiah, a servant of God. He was working in the service of the king of Persia. And he had went back. Cyrus had granted a decree that they would be able to go back and build the walls. And I've talked about Nehemiah on other occasions. And he was one of the ones who had refused to escort back. See, sometimes the things in life we're looking at, if God doesn't protect us, we're not looking for man to protect us. And that's what Nehemiah was emphasizing, that he was doing things according to what God wanted, and that if it's God's work, let us all realize that this morning, if it's God's work, we shouldn't fear man, and that God would carry out his work. God would get his work done. And that's not meaning that we shouldn't be wise in doing this. Now, this wisdom that I'm going to talk about and the ability to perceive and understand, we'll see that Nehemiah was a very accomplished man in that this power of perception, it didn't come overnight. His wisdom and knowledge and understanding didn't come overnight. We'll see when he began, he went back and scouted out Jerusalem. He went alone, and we talked about that in a sermon, a message earlier. And I tell you, it kind of reminded me a little bit of Brother Bazil. And you could see that he had that gift or whatever, and that sometimes we don't make the most of our gifts or the talents or what we should be doing. I hate to see a lot what he's doing or whatever to be wasted in other pursuits or journeys. And I remember when he first came, he looked around at the foundation, he looked around at the church, he walked around, and a couple of weeks later, he helped me tear down a portion of the church that was over there, whatever. Same way Nehemiah went and he analyzed what was required in Jerusalem to get the job done, to get it accomplished. After he seized that up or whatever, he went out and he got men and he got the organized and started this work to be accomplished. And this works not with just the men in the church, with the women in the church also. We see where Paul talked about Phoebe and the women that was behind him and strengthened him and helped him in the work of the church or whatever. And I was apologizing to Sister Harris for not making it up or whatever, that we didn't get the things taken care of that she was pressing on to do with the communion thing or whatever. But God gifts us and drives us in different ways or whatever. And the other week we had to expand her ramp to come into the church or whatever. But that not a deterrence to her. And I was leaving the other day and she was asking me about where to get some things from it or whatever. And I just kind of shifted it off. And was it a test or was it what our actions is? We have to observe it, and you know, after I told her, well, I don't know, and this and that there, wasn't being short of anything or whatever, but there are only so many things that a pastor, a leader, or someone can do or whatever. He need hands and feet, and Nehemiah had the hands and feet. He had people to help him around, And that's one of the reasons he wasn't going to hiding or whatever, because it would cause the people that follow him to start to slack off or not look at him in a certain way or whatever. And so as we went, I see it on my desk or whatever, all of the things required for the get this job done, and I scheduled meeting her another day or whatever. But that wasn't a deterrence to her. She found out where they were. She found out. So that's what I'm saying. God gifts us and makes ways for us to get things done or whatever. And I was talking about that the other week. We don't want to wait to that day or whatever. We want God to be on our mind, not just one day, not just 1 hour, but consistently. We want our spare time, our frugal, most fruitful time to be dedicated to God. He's supposed to be increasing in our life, and we should be decreasing. So we see we got that done, and that's what I like to see, that people are not discouraged or whatever, that they press on to accomplish things. And that's what we want. We're promoting is independence, and in not just independent thinking, but thinking according to the mind of Christ. That's why it says, let that same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And if you're working for Christ or you're working for God, God's going to show you the people or the things in life that may be a trap to you. These people was a trap to Nehemiah. And my first point, I guess, would be watchfulness. We have to watch in all things. The Bible tells you to watch in all things. Above all, he said, be aware of the wiles of the devil. Now, I kind of named this the powers of perception sharpened, because there will be a lot of people in the church. There will be a lot of people in the world. And especially if we look at this day and time, it's just like the time of Nehemiah. It was his friends. It was people in the ministry. It was people of great rapport. In other words, they were political figures. It was a nation that had gone away from God, and God was in a process of restoring them. But whenever God has works done, going about or being done, the devil wants to chip in and help. He wants to be around. He's going to stick his nose in. He's going to be part of the action. He's going to want to get in on it. And that's what he's doing in the latter days, is God establishing the church. He's transforming his ministers into ministers of light to come in the church and help lead his people, lead God's people astray, to just blend in. But God is strengthening his people like he strengthened Nehemiah to be able to perceive the wolves that's among the flock. That's why Paul says, grievous wolves sharing in, but not until he leave. In other words, he was going to defend the flock against the wolves. He was going to defend the flock. And the way we do that is by studying God's word, walking in God's word, through prayer, and actually doing God's word. Without doing God's word, all of the rest of it is just, it's null and void. You can't be a hearer and know God's word, because through intellect and knowledge, you can't just do it. It has to be accomplished in those that know the will of God and do the will of God. That's when God increases those abilities. That's when he sharpens it. And it's not for everybody to be a sharp pencil. There are many dull pencils in the box. In the church, there's a lot of people that won't proceed any further. God has those milk Christians. He has those people that is not given to do great things. So don't let that deter you. There are people that will always be babes in Christ. God has different children, just like he has different gifts. There's those that won't be able to have strong meat. That's why I say I was just going to talk in a different way or a different fashion this morning. I want to encourage. I don't want to discourage. But I also, like him, like Jesus did, to consistently make you aware that you do have an adversary. As Nehemiah started that off, he says the enemies, those was the enemies of God. He said that, now when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and the Arab, the rest of our enemies, heard that we rebuilt the wall, You know, the wall is kind of a metaphor for your security. When you hear of walled cities, if you go throughout the city, you'll see a lot of communities and subdivisions where they're gated communities. They're built with walls. You know, you think of security behind a wall. You know, people put bars and gate strong gates at their doors and fences, and a lot of them put those bars on their windows and the doors and things and get burned up within their own security system, within their own walls. Because there's problems within and without, but we need God. We need God to show us and make us aware of these things. In the book of Ephesians, he tells us, he says, put on the whole armor of God, for his precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier. Precepts. Now that's one thing that we have to know. That's why it's precept upon precept, word upon word. We have to be able to know God's statutes. We have to know his judgments. In other words, we have to be able to know of God and know what's the word of God. When his friend tried to get him to come in, he was trying to make him afraid. It's written here in the, I think the 10th verse, it says, when I went into the house of Shammai, the son of Dila, the son of Matthew, he was confined at his own home. That's a wolf in sheep's clothing. That was one of his friends. That was a person that was a religious person. He was of nobility or whatever, that he is hiding in his home like someone wants to do him something. And he says, let us meet and take refuge together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut up the doors of the temple, because they are coming to kill you, and they are coming to kill you at night. But I said, should a man like me flee in fear and hide? Should someone like me enter the temple for sanctuary to save his life? I will not go. And that's when he realized, that's when he perceived that God hadn't sent this guy. That's where we will have to see something about some of the false prophets, some of the ones that's not on our side. Why would he try to, first of all, make me feel for him? You know, it's like our leaders today, our president and our political leaders and our religious leaders trying to make us fearful of other people. Before the election, they was telling us about the immigrants, the caravan, and they say since the election, you don't hear anything else about the caravan. It was just kind of something to make the people get out and vote. It was just making you scared. You know, you have to beware of people that are trying to make you scared and trying to devise schemes. That's why it says, beware the schemes of the devil. And Nehemiah knew that this guy, if he's of God, why is he cowering in fear? What is he scared of? What are you scared of this morning? God hadn't given you a spirit of fear. If he was of God, he would be bold as a lion. He wouldn't be coward or hunkered down hiding. That was a ruse anyhow, wasn't it? About he had conferred with the enemies, and if they could have got Nehemiah doing this and they'd have killed him in the temple or did him wrong in the temple, that would have said something that this man was trying to hide behind the Bible. He was trying to hide behind the things of God because that's how he realized that he wasn't of God, because why would you tell me to seek sanctuary in the house of God? I'm not a priest, and that's why, you remember we talked about Uzziah, when he went into the temple to offer incense, it wasn't a part of his job description for him to be in there anyhow. It was only that the priest would go in and do this. He wasn't a priest. See, so when somebody's trying to make, that's a sign of a false prophet trying to make you do something contrary to the word of God. If anybody that offers you anything that's not of faith, it's sin. So we have to beware. Study to show yourselves approved. You know what's given to you and what's not by the word of God. That's why John says, if they bring not this doctrine, receive them not into your homes.
That's what happened with the Jehovah's Witnesses when they put Jesus at a level below God in that saying he's not God. You understand that? Because God had given him a name above every name. And that's why Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We have a problem there. So we have to see, does even our religion gives us a contradiction? We have to, like I say, I'm observing each and every one of you, and you need to observe me and everybody around you. You never know who's who and what's what. That's why we're in a time when Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. Because, you know, there's a lot of children that are being reared up and say, you know, my parents aren't right. They're prejudiced. They would go with a lie. They are very fearful and they're living a life that's not right. That's why he says the homes were going to be divided, because God is working with individuals. God is strengthening different people. You don't follow just everybody in anything. That's why a lot of parents are turning on the children, because I know my son. I know my daughters. So you can't abide evil. See, Ahab should have turned on Jezebel if he was a man of God. Even though that was his wife, he still would have had to walk in the realms of what God had given him. But his wife would know that he had risen up. That's why it says the homes are going to be divided. That's what happens in the church. And that's what Nehemiah, he was staunchly against these people. We grew up together. We know one another. All the, but no, here's where the line divides at. That's where the dividing line at. Are you for Jesus or are you against him? Are you for him or are you against him? He says that you may be able to be successfully stand against the wiles. In other words, the strategies, the schemes, and the deceits of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents. Now, notice the way the Amplified puts that. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but then it parentheses and puts in there, contending only with physical opponents. In other words, we don't know who the devil ain't got into. You know, anybody can let the devil in there. The deacon can let the devil in there. The apostle could let the devil in there. Jesus was talking to Peter, in the very next sentence he says, get behind me, Satan. Huh? You don't know when somebody, just like somebody said, oh man, he got hell in him. In other words, you don't know what spirit you are sometimes. That's why it's a constant struggle of trying to suppress that old nature, because when you attempt to do good, evil is right there. Some things that come out your mouth that you didn't know was in there, pressure busts a pipe. What's in a man's going to come out of it. We hit your finger while nailing something on that wall, we're going to see just how holy you is. It's a few full of sour grapes or sweet grapes. You know, you can say, where that word come from? Where did that come from? See, sometimes we distort the facts by our emotion. You know, David did some perceptions of different things, and I won't chase that rabbit trail, but through emotional things, and that's what we're looking at here in Nehemiah, they were looking at this the wrong way. Their perception of the way they was trying to say it, and Nehemiah said, y'all making that up, that's in your own mind. You know, it's a lot of things you do through good intentions or whatever, people see it the wrong way. They add or say this and make an accusation against you, and you were intending it for good. That's why Peter says, to the pure, all things are pure. But if you're always making accusations or allegations against somebody, you need to look at yourself and say, who is the accuser of the brethren? Isn't it Satan that's the accuser of the brethren? Some things you just have to quietly let it work out itself. Maybe not say anything, but you see them by their action. See, perception, another word goes in there, and you learn is through observation. Some people just sit there and watch you. That's why Jesus told us to be wise as serpents. In other words, just as shrewd as serpent, but harmless as a dove. You have to watch and seize different things, you know. And that's why I say perceive also means see what had you saw. See, sometimes God shows us things. God said, just sit back and watch. See, when you're sitting in the church, you need that old man may be watching you, you know. That's where the old saying comes from, every closed eye ain't sleep. Yeah, so the devil could be. That's why he says it's not against flesh and blood. Now, some people are turned over to Satan. So when I'm saying it's not the physical entity, but that person could be of their father, the devil. And if you notice, that's what Jesus told the Pharisees, that you are of your father, the devil. Notice that his ministry wasn't one to trying to convert the Pharisees. And he didn't show that kind of empathy toward him or whatever, because he says, you said you're not blind and that you see. He said, now you see and remain. See, to a person that know everything, it's no use preaching or talking to him. You can't tell somebody that know everything. You can't tell him anything. And you catch him in a lie, they're going to make an excuse for that lie. It's going to lead to another lie. And if they can't fulfill or can't do something, they're going to make an excuse why they didn't do it. It's never, you know, that, look, I'm unworthy. I'm at fault here. I'm falling short. That's why we're in here this morning. That see that we're unworthy. We need help. Nehemiah realized he need Christ's help. He need Jesus to help him day in and day out. That's where we have to be at that point as little children. In that we're depending upon God each and every day. We're depending upon. He says, but we are wrestling against evil rulers and against authorities of the unseen world. There are forces that are larger than just the physical forces that are working. You remember when Daniel prayed and then the angel Gabriel come to him and say he was fighting over prayer. There are different princes and rulers over different principalities and powers over each domain. There's a prince of the city of Baton Rouge. There's a prince over the city of New Orleans. There's different princes over different domains. See, there are unseen rulers, and that's why through faith we can see that unseen world. That's why I say we have to have it sharpened. That's why you start having dreams and vision. God's starting to reveal the other world to you. He's bringing you into the light. He's starting to reveal the things of God to you. That's why Nehemiah can start to see these people where they are. As you have grown spiritually, or as you have grown, do you starting to see some people for where they are? You know, some of your closest relatives, some of your closest friends, some of the people you know, after all these years, now I'm seeing you for just what you are, what you after. You know, some people are just after stuff, after things. You don't really care about that individual. And sometime that individual starts saying, you know, now I see you. God just showed me what you are. And this is not an accusation, because sometimes you keep those things to yourself. They say you feed them with a long-handled spoon or whatever. You have to, you know, if you got your hand in a lion's mouth, you have to keep rubbing his head. You know, he'll bite it off. That's why it says if you're married, seek not to be loose, because you would be going against the word of God to try to divorce. But you need to know how to operate within those bounds of marriage. Now, if that other person want to leave, Paul said, let them leave. He says, the powers against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual force of wickedness in heavenly places, in supernatural places. If we read Numbers 25, 16th chapter and 18th verse, It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled, harassed, deceived, or tricked you into worshiping in their manner. And so this is, you remember where the women came in and slept with the men or whatever, and Phinehas had to come in and kill one to carry that for? You see, and God talks about that seducing spirit in the book of Revelations. That's what his beef was against Ahab. You know, some men get under the pull of that woman. That's their God. She comes before anything else. And you can get under the pull of money or alcohol. Anything could become your God. You work all kinds of trickery and even deceit against God. You know, there are a lot of people, if you're addicted enough, you'll rob God. That's why God says, will a man rob God? You'll not give God what's due to him because you're feeding something of the world. It's your spouses, and that's what Nehemiah prayed for here. He was praying against those women prophetesses. If you notice, he says that it was against those prophetesses, and we have talked about it in Ezekiel, and we'll talk about it again in Ezekiel, where it was the prophetesses that the men, in Jeremiah also, where the women was worshiping the Queen of Heaven, and that the men were going along with this. It was at Easter time and Christmas time. And the women said, didn't our husbands know about this? In other words, they were fueling the fire. They was giving us the money to do these things with. Solomon, as wise as he was, he went and built houses for Chemosh, for all of these other, to Asherah, and to all these other women after God had warned him twice in a dream. God had spoke to him. That's why the kingdoms became divided. It's because Solomon had given in to these other women. And Nehemiah says, 14th verse, where he prays to God, he says, remember, O my God, Tobiah and Sanballat in regard to these actions of theirs, and also remember the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who were trying to frighten me. See, because if you notice, they're talking about this nation or whatever, but did you notice that it's a lot of the women that are voting against women, that are voting, that are doing things that are suppressing the truth and unrighteousness against other women? That's a sign of society falling when it's fallen women. That's why he says, because you allowed Jezebel to seduce my servants. If you go to most churches and you look at most religions and things, they have been started by women. Somebody asked me one day, why is the Bible always showing the woman in that position or whatever and using the woman? Because that's the most seductive thing it is. That's why they call her the temptress. That's why it uses the word seducing spirits or whatever. The strongest man we talk about in the Bible, Delilah made him fall. Delilah made him fall because God wasn't strong enough in Samson's life as his physical pull toward Delilah was. That he told his secret that God says he shouldn't tell anyone, but Delilah said, you don't love me, Samson. Oh, yeah, baby, I love you. I'll tell you everything. I'll give you everything. He ended up bald-headed and blind. They cut his strength off. They seen, if I could get in between him and his religion, I'll have him blind and eating out my hands. That's when he laid his head in her lap and she did shave that hair off, those locks of hair off. He ended up blind and bald-headed, committed suicide. He pushed him, and they say it wasn't suicide. Well, he pushed those buildings down on himself. He said, let me die with my enemies. When you get to the point that you wanting to die, you wanting to die with your enemies, you got a problem. That's where he died at, too. We have better watch, and that's why Nehemiah was being sharpened here. Nehemiah was sharp as a tack. You have to be aware when the enemy is among you. You have to know how to treat them. And God says, go back and vex. In other words, one scripture says, strike them. Strike them, the Midianites. See, at some point in time, we have to deliver that death blow to the devil. And that's why he told the woman, says, he's going to bruise your heel, but you have to bruise his head. But notice we're going to have to learn how to fight, because we can't do this physically. And that's why it says, you watch. He prayed to them and said, you watch between me and them. Because you're praying for your enemies, you're turning them in and remitting their sins. You putting them into God's hand. You can't physically do that and be in the word of God, because it said, thou shalt not kill. So we have to be careful, because the heart is deceitful above all things. It's very wicked. And that's why we need a new heart. We really need a new heart. I didn't succeed in getting this out of order. But we see that God had told them what to do, and God had led them in the way. But God hadn't given them a heart to perceive. God hadn't given them a heart to perceive at that time. And in Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, in the 4th verse, he had told them he hadn't given them a heart to perceive. He had told them he hadn't given them a heart to perceive. God has to open up our hearts, and that's why I told you, there be a many a call, but only a few chosen. All of us aren't meant to hold different positions in God. But those that have learned to be content with such that they are. So we have to learn. We have to depend on God to show us where we belong yet in the body of Christ, and where we should be serving God, and there we're to be content. Because if we would lose the things of the world, we'll be happy with what we have, what God had given us, and we'll stop striving for that which God hadn't given us. That's when you develop in wisdom and understanding, because you could have been happy all your life because that woman or that man or that car, that money, or whatever you was reaching out for, it wasn't going to make you happy anyhow. You was going to keep trying to hold on to it. It wasn't going to want you. It was still trying to push away from you. And you could have had this old car. You could have had the wife God had given you instead of trying to get another wife, or another husband, another house, another job. Whatever that you lust after, you're not going to be fulfilling that, because it's not the kingdom of God. It says, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So you're trying to take care of your own needs instead of allowing God to take care of your needs. My daughter sent me a picture of my grandbaby this morning, all snuggled up and everything, and saying he just don't know how good he has it. And she wished for that day again. You know, but it's going to come a day that we all grow up and leave the confines of home. But see, he don't have to worry about the light bill this morning. He don't have to worry about anything, because it's all going to be provided for him. How many of us are like that? We should be like that. We shouldn't have to wish for those days. We're like that. If we start realizing that God is our Father, and that Jesus say, anything that you have need of, ask the Father and he'll give it to you. That you will stop lusting and running after the things of the world and spend more time with the Father. He says, because we know we have the petition we desire of him, because we follow his commandments. So good children receive from their Father. If we walk in his precepts and things, see where we get out of the way when we start doing things that's against the will of God, that's against his precepts, against his statutes and judgment, because the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. So Nehemiah was within this, and long as we are within that frame, God's going to watch over us and give us the strength as he gave Job to go through whatever he's going through, whatever trouble, because your focus is up on God, and you know whatever God's sending, he's going to bring you through that, because he's your Father. You can trust in your Father. Your Father's not going to do you any harm. And if he's putting or laying something on you, you know that he's not going to lay a burden on you that you couldn't bear. So you're not going to make these worldly alliances to get away from suffering and to appease anybody else, but you want to please God. When a man's ways please God, he'll make your enemies be at peace. Those though you are trying to be at peace with, the way to be at peace with them is through God. The wisdom that we need to fight this warfare comes from God. Now you can use earthly wisdom that's sensual and devilish, and people do it all the time. You'll be able to start to see through people's guises and ruse like Nehemiah did. When somebody giving you a ball of twine, when somebody giving you something that ain't right, okay, you're not going to even argue with them. Have you gotten to the point where some people tell you everything and they think they done got away with it and made an excuse and they think that you're fooling his own mind because you ain't worried about him no more. You hadn't counted that much in that because you know they're undependable. Nehemiah knew these people were undependable. He wasn't looking to them, and he didn't have to start no fight. You would just say, no, I'm not going to get involved. That's okay. Listen at this. True wisdom comes from God. James 3rd chapter, in the 13th to the 18th verse. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Who among you is wise and intelligent? Let him, by his good conduct, show his... We can show this by walking in the way of God and doing the things of God. We have to show it in walking in a way that's approved of God. And here's where I didn't number these this time. All things have been handed over. But we have to walk in God's ways and in God's things. And now we have to see that God gives us wisdom to perceive. And those of us that lack wisdom, we need to ask that of God. We need to ask of God for that wisdom, and he would give us the wisdom and understanding. But those that are of the world seek the wisdom in the things of the world, and they walk in the ways of the world. And so we have to remember that just because someone spouts something off in church, the good deeds that we're doing in the gentleness and humility of true wisdom, and you display that. When I was telling you about what I couldn't do, you don't get off the handle about different things. The other week, someone was bringing to me about the ramp or whatever, and I just said, we can't do it at this time or whatever. See, so the thing is, okay, we'll just leave it alone. We'll just leave that alone. It gets done. You didn't voice your opinion, but wisdom doesn't get into a vociferous argument. Wisdom doesn't rise up against, they rose up against Nehemiah or whatever. But we have to understand one another that we are all under pressure. We all have things going on in our life. We are hearing and we intend to do things. But it's in God's timing. And that's what God does in the church. We learn to love one another and not strive against one another. To be more understanding. It says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't be arrogant as a result of in defiance of the truth. This superficial wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, secular, natural, unspiritual, even demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's disorder, unrest, and rebellion, and every evil thing, morally degrading practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, morally and spiritually undefiled, then peace-loving, is courteous, considerate, gentle, reasonable, and willing to listen, full of compassion and good fruits. It is unwavering, without self-righteous hypocrisy and self-serving guile. And the seed whose fruit is in righteousness
is sown in peace by those who make peace by actively encouraging goodwill between individuals. So if we would walk that way, people will start seeing our good works in glorifying God. They would see that we walk differently than others have walked. They'll see that we handle the words of God, that we handle or conduct ourselves. And that's what I was talking about last week when Deacon was reading that, when it says conversation. And I said, let me see that. And I was trying to see conversation, and was it the same as that that was saying conduct? Because conversation, or what you're saying, it's in line with conduct, but it's not that the same as conduct. It's not the same as conduct, because Nehemiah looked at the way Shemaiah was doing this. I hope I'm not confusing you. He looked at the way Shemaiah was doing this, in that they, how can I say this? It didn't line up. Why would he be hiding in the house? Are you seeing what I'm saying? We have to observe other people, how they're acting, what they're doing. It's in the nuances. I may be going a little bit too far with this. But what I'm saying, as you grow, everything is a tail. It's like playing poker or playing domino. Everything is a tail. You'll be able to read people's hand, what cards they're playing, what things are they holding or whatever. Because by observing, by growing in God, he starts to awaken your awareness of consciousness. So you will be aware through what people are saying or doing, just where they are or how they think or what's going on in their lives. And Jesus consistently warned his apostles that they will have a hard road to hold ahead, that there will be devils among them, and that they wasn't going to be safe. He says in the book of Matthew, the 10th chapter, he says, listen carefully. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. You remember I was telling you to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We can't go out there fighting the way they fight. We have to learn to war a spiritual battle, because that's why we're praying for our enemies, because we're trying to get them converted. We're trying to wake them up. So I'm not saying that your wife, your children, your parents, or somebody is your natural enemy. Maybe naturally, but not spiritually. And if you could get that person converted, if God's word is coming over to you. So you have to, by your conduct or conversation, leave room for that person to come back and say, you know, I was sorry, I'm wrong. I see what you've been doing. I see what's happening. And now I understand better. But see, if we become homophobe, and if we cursing and slandering the homosexuals, the gays, and robbers and thieves and everybody, if we fighting fire with fire, that doesn't accomplish anything but a giant fire. See, but if we praying for our enemy, if we giving them a water when they're thirsty, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. A little bit of words well spoken and kindly. In other words, if we treat them in a godly like fashion, when they are enemies of us, look at this. When they realized and the walls was finished and complete, the people looked at it and they knew that it was from God. Just like the Roman soldier, he looked at Jesus, his actions, and the things that was going on the cross, and he says, this man was the Son of God. See, people are watching and acting, and they know something supernatural has occurred. Even though they can't be a part of it, they know that this was of God. Now, it doesn't lead to salvation. He says, let me continue where I was. Be harmless as doves. Have no self-serving agenda. Beware of men whose nature is to act in opposition to God. Beware of men. And that's all men.
for they will hand you over into the courts and flog you in their synagogues. Don't think you're safe just because you're in the church. That's what Nehemiah would say. I'm not going for sanctuary in the church. That's where Zechariah was killed at, between the altar. That's where Solomon told him to slay Joab at the altar. If somebody's against God, he doesn't mind where he's going to kill you at. You think he's honoring God? People, there will come a time when people will kill you and think they're doing God a favor. The very ones that you were trying to please, and that's what's going to hurt the most. The ones that you have given up and turned against God for, when those people turn against you, that's when you're ready to check out of here. The ones that you have given everything for, and it's like your child, and when your child turns against you, it's like stabbing a dagger in your heart. If your parents turn against you, that would be the most hideous thing that you can think of. But that's why God says, turn to him. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. That's what you can count on. So that little bit of leavening, you know, sometimes your wife or your husband or your children will say things to hurt you to your heart. I mean, it'll really get you. That's when words really do hurt. Words really hurt in that way. But the reason we have to study to show ourselves approved or walk in the words of God, it's going to come a time when they will be able to almost deceive the very elect. It says, Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise among you false Christs and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, and to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. So those of us that get seduced away or taken away wasn't of God anyhow. That's why I say don't get too attached to some people in the church, because they may just have been a professor anyhow. They might have been a professor of God, but they hadn't walked in the ways of God. They wasn't loyal to God, and God had to have a way to take them away. So don't get so disturbed about somebody or something. Don't be that attached to it that when it's gone, it'd be like God told Samuel, why are you still grieving over Saul? After he killed Saul, well, there was an attachment Samuel had to Saul. But, hey, Saul and ran this race. You go on and go your way. Saul crossed God the way he shouldn't have crossed God. That's why Aaron had to soldier on after God killed his children. Because God's running the world. God's doing this, and he's doing a good job of it. But can you see from his perspective? Have he given you understanding and wisdom as to why he's doing what he's doing? Because he said your thoughts are not like my thoughts and your ways are not like my ways. But see, a lot of us are conceited and wise in our own way, and you can't tell them nothing. That's the ones that when the preacher preaches, somebody say something, yeah, well, okay, it worked out, but I wouldn't have did it that way. I'd have did it this way. I know. You always got the right way to do things. God might not be doing this the way you would do it or whatever, but he's God. He does it the way he sees fit. As James says, to ask for wisdom of God if you need wisdom, and he'll give you wisdom liberally. But you have to be as a child dependent upon God. But be careful, as I said, of those Sanballats and Tobias that's among us, that are coming to you in religious garb. They are professors. Titus 1:16 talks of them. He says they profess to know God, but in works they're denying him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds and consciences are corrupted. Such people claim that they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. Look at their conduct. Look at what's at first in their life. Look at how they treat God. Are their actions toward God or are their actions toward man? And that's one of the great judgmental things, and that's why I said we have to learn to judge. We have to learn to judge, but with the judgment that comes from God. There's a lot of other things I wanted to crowd in here and say, but I can't say at this time. But I did say be watchful. And that's why Jesus told Peter that y'all watch in prayer. They hadn't went to sleep. You have to be alert and you have to be diligent. You have to have zeal. The common grace of God is shown to all men. And God's short to lift common grace. You'll see common grace removed from the earth because it's all part of the judgment of God. He that holdeth back will not allow this to continue on. He says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And he calls them to him. He says, come unto me. At that time, Jesus praised and said, Father, Lord of heaven, I praise openly and joyfully and acknowledge that your great wisdom, that you have hidden these things, these spiritual truths from the wise and intelligent, and revealed them to infants, to new believers, to those seeking God's will and purpose. Yes, Father, for this way was pleasing in your sight. See, God has hidden his word from some. And we're going to notice that in the book of Isaiah that we're coming to, because he's going to say, preach to that they don't hear and that they don't perceive and that they don't hear my word and be converted. God closes his word off to some. It's some right now. I hope it's not in this church, but it's some sitting in the churches and they don't hear or understand what the preacher's saying. That's why it says, he who have ears to hear. So it's not the preacher. It's not anyone else. And that's what kind of puzzled Isaiah when he says, preach, but they won't be able to hear. Seeing, they won't be able to see. They won't be able to understand unless I heal them and they be converted. So God knows those that he's calling. We don't. We don't know who he's calling. So we have to treat everybody the same. But we have to walk circumspectively. And the only way we can do that is by walking according to God's word. And it's going to marvel us. It's going to behoove us of those that drop out of this race. Those that we thought were on our side and wasn't on our side. The apostles, they didn't know that it was Judas that was to betray them. They never would have thought because Jesus let him hold the money back. But Jesus did tell them, there's a devil among you. And I knew that when I chose it. You can't turn a goat into a sheep. Some people are inside the church with their own selfish agenda. Have all that preaching and teaching. Did Judas ever come to him and say, Lord, I'm really messed up. I'm stealing the money you putting in the pot. The people putting in the pot. Lord, I got this on my mind. You know, I'm thinking about selling you out. You know, that's why I say, even the fool thinks his ways are ahead and there's a way that seemeth right to a man to end in destruction. You going around thinking you got the church fooled, thinking you got people fooled, and the fool is that you've deceived yourself. You're the only one in the dark. People knowing you, and you know, you're getting tired of covering up. You're getting tired, and it's hard being a Christian because you're juggling so many fires. It's so many irons that you have in the fire, you don't know which one to grab next. You can't remember one line, keep them straightened out. That's why you have to operate in the truth. That's how you have to walk worthy, because the last W is waste places. Nehemiah rebuilt the waste places. He rebuilt and restored the gates, the security. That's what we're doing. The book of Acts says, after that, they held their peace. James answered, saying, men and brother, hearken unto me. Simeon had declared, in other words, Peter, had declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophet, as it is written. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. I will rebuild again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles on whom my name is called, said the Lord, who doeth all these things, shall be known unto God in all his works from the beginning of the world. So God is working right now. His church is being built in this nation. His church is being built in China, in Russia, in all of these places. And that's why I'm so glad that we are able to, through our missions effort, and I told you how many different countries and states are hearing it. God's word is going throughout the earth, but it's not everybody that can hear that word. It's not everybody can see what God's doing. They have too big an outlook. They can't see the forest for the trees. See, because they're not operating at home. They're not operating within the purview of the realm God had given them to work. Thus, they have an oversight. They're operating by spiritual myopathy. So what we have to do is walk as God say and build where we can build and be content with that. And God's going to glorify that effort. God's going to glorify, just like the last temple was greater than the temple that of Solomon that they had built, because the Messiah visited that temple. In other words, God's going to visit us. God's going to visit you. God's going to come and make a home within you, and you'll be greater. That's what makes us great, is that when we glorify God, he comes and dwells and lives in us. We are the temple of God. We should be purging and purifying that temple. Everything else, we have to be circumspect of. We have to watch, but the security in building the walls is establishing the gates. The gates is the strongest part of any structure. But all of the devils in hell cannot prevail against the gates of the church. All the devils in hell can't. So you will be able to hang those gates. Broad is the way to go to destruction, but narrow is that way. But we will be able to enter in at that straight gate. At that straight gate is where we're trying to be. That's what Nehemiah was doing. He was fortifying, and when he finished, the people said, this was of God. There's no other way we could have did. It's no other way that this church become what God, we can't see what God has in the end, but he could start giving us a glimpse of it. We're going to be able to start perceiving as he puts this puzzle together, he's going to show us the completed project. And you will get stronger as it's completed. Day by day. It's just like it got warmer today than it was last night. It's going to get better in God. Well, how should I end this? And that was a good ending, because my conclusion was from the book of Hebrews. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need of one to teach you again what be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So within the church, there will be ones that can hear a message like I just preached, that can go out and hear different teachers or whatever. But there would be others that I would advise not to. We're not all the same. God has us at different levels, and there's different places in the Lord. Well, we should be in communion with God about these things. So as I gave you the Old Testament King James, the New Testament King James Version, I'll give you the Living Version. And close with that. It's the same one. Concerning this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull or sluggish in hearing and disinclined to listen. By that, we're saying that you've listened to so many different people on television. Everybody knows Jesus. There, all roads lead to Jesus. Everybody's going to be saved. Talk like that dulls your hearing. You have some people that never go to church and they'll lie and tell you they know Jesus. They'll say Jesus died for you. But you ought to be able to not hear that. You ought to be able to tune those people out. Those are arguments that you wouldn't even argue. There's some people in certain churches and everything, you start tuning them out. We don't want to get on spiritual conversations. See why some employers say don't talk religion or politics, because they're so varying. It'll lead to argument. There are people you probably didn't know that you would say, I don't think you're saved. I don't think your church saved. I don't think anything about it. It's just that divisive. That's how divisive. Christianity is very exclusive. It doesn't include everybody. It only includes those God had chosen. So it says, for though this time you ought to be teachers, because of the time you have had to learn these truths, you actually need someone to teach you again the very basic principles from the beginning. And you have come to be continually in need of just, like I say, some preaching that just gets you to hooping and hollering and feeling good and leaving out of the church. And Monday or Tuesday, you say, I don't know what he preached about it, but it made me feel good. I serve God, and happy Easter and happy Christmas to you. Well, if that's the life you live, there are some people that may be at that level. But there are other people that God's taking a higher level. He's going on to perfection. Because you have milquetoast Christians. You have people that are never growing the Lord. They'll never be able to rise to certain points. We will accept those things. Because it's God to do it. That's why Jesus said, it's not for me to give you to set my right hand or my left hand. See, there are other people out there fighting greater battles than you are. There are other people who are really studying God's word, really making sacrifices living in God's word. And when I say that you are, I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm just saying that we shouldn't think we more than the next guy. We don't know what God gave him to do, but that we know that we worship God. We all will be satisfied with God's results. So we're not going to be envious or jealous or bitter or arrogant or high-minded, any of those things. But we're going to stand strong with God and build according. We're going to be careful of how we build. That's what Paul said. Be careful of how you build. Go out this week and be careful how you build. And you could be just as successful, because what you want to do is be spiritually strong. You're not looking for physical strength. You're looking for spiritual strength. That's where it manifests itself, in the spirit. Look unto God. And as Nehemiah says, remember those that have done me these things and said these things. I'm praying and talking to God about those things. But I want to rebuild the fallen down ruins of God. We want to do that. And that restoration, since God's could do it, he'll do it through us if we have that mind. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, help me, Lord God, as I